Want to continue our thoughts on we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, Romans 8, verse 37, basically describing the Christian life at this point. We see that it is a life based upon a personal experience of the miracle salvation. One, of course, cannot live this life without personally experiencing this miracle of salvation. And sad to say, there are those who have experienced the miracle of salvation but still do not enjoy the life of a more than conqueror. And it is really the living in the constant realization, living in the consciousness, living in the assurance that this miracle has taken place in our life that causes us to have a central focus, which we spoke upon last Wednesday, which should be Jesus Christ. And we all have a central focus. May not be Christ, but everyone has something that they focus upon. And our central focus really shapes our entire view and manner of living life. So if we know for sure that we've been saved, we live in the realization of that salvation, and we live knowing that it was Christ who saved us, then we with Paul in Galatians 2 verse 20 say, not I, but Christ. And that is what will lead to a life of being more than a conqueror. This life also, though, is a life based upon a pattern. We see that it's a life based upon a miracle. We've seen that it is a life based upon a central focus, and it is a life based upon a pattern. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him. So there's a testimony, there's a profession of faith. Ought, that's a duty. It's also a desirable and expected state. If we say that we abide in Christ, then there is an expected lifestyle. So he that saith he abideth in him ought himself, so it's personal, also, that is in addition to abiding, so to walk even as he, Christ, walked. We are to soul to walk even as Christ. Christ is our pattern. The life that we are called to live, the life that we are privileged to live, the life that we have the opportunity to live, and really the life that we are responsible to live, is not a random life. It's not a haphazard, go and do as you please life. It's a life based upon a pattern. And it is a very precise life. It is a life that calls for precision in terms of outward behavior, in terms of our thoughts, in terms of our beliefs. Everything is precise. It is a life of even as Christ. And to whatever degree that we walk even as Christ, the more we enjoy in this life, more than conquerors, through him. You cannot live separate and apart from Christ and enjoy the more than conquer life. You are to walk even as Christ. So it is a life of imitation. It is a life of imitation of Christ. That is, it is an impersonation of Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be an impersonation of Jesus Christ. They are to be a conformity to Christ. We are to conform to Christ. Paul said in Romans 8:29 that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And to be conformed is to be formed. We're to be formed in the image of Christ. We're to be fashioned. We're to take on the shape of Jesus Christ. And this conformity is in direct opposition to the world. Because Paul said in Romans 12 in verse 2 that we're not to be conformed to the world. We're to be conformed to Christ. We're not to be conformed to the world. That puts the two at opposition. Christ and the world stand opposed to one another. In fact, the whole mood, the whole trend of the world is Antichrist. We see that in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And we are to live in an Antichrist world. We are to live in conformity to Christ. We are to be the impersonation of Jesus Christ. That immediately puts us at odds with the world. That immediately causes us to be different from the world. And the whole Christian life is a life that stands opposed to Christ. So in this world where the spirit of Antichrist dwells, the world, of course, stands opposed to Christ. And we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. The world is against Jesus Christ. And we are to be conformed to Jesus Christ, which means that the world will be against us. The world finds Jesus Christ to be unbearable. The world finds Jesus Christ to be very distasteful, and He's very unappealing to the world. And yet we are to be conformed to His image. The world resents Jesus Christ, and we are to be conformed to His image. So we don't expect the world to understand a life of conformity to Jesus Christ. But every child of God, everyone who has been saved by the grace of God, ought to understand, ought to strive for a life of conformity to Jesus Christ. And again, that immediately puts us at odds with the world. It makes our life different from the life of the world. And it is a life different from our old life. We're not to live like we used to. A miracle has taken place. A change has taken place. Our minds have been changed. Our hearts have been changed. Everything about us has been changed. And we're not to desire that old life. So it is a life patterned after Jesus Christ. So we want to consider this evening that subject. Christ has our pattern for living. And there's many, this covers every area of our life, but Jesus Christ is a mirror of what life ought to be for the child of God. And He is what we are to always strive for. He is what we're to always be in pursuit of, the Christ life. And there's very little desire today amongst those who profess to be saved. There's very little, at least outward desire, for a life in conformity with Christ. But you think about Christ's earthly life. And Christ's earthly life was a life of victory. It was a life of overcoming. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame the world. He overcame the devil. His was a life of victory. More than conquerors. That's our privilege. That's our opportunity to enjoy that here. We don't have to wait to heaven to enjoy the life of more than conquerors. If we just imitate Christ, we too will enjoy victory. His life was a manifestation, a display, and a presentation of God. Everywhere he went, he manifested God. Everywhere he went, he displayed God. Everywhere he went, he presented God. For 33 years, he lived upon this earth as the manifest copy of God. People could watch him and they could know how God would act in any given situation. He was the manifest copy of God. He had physical infirmities. He was without sin, but he did have physical infirmities, such as weariness, such as hunger, such as thirst, sorrow, pain. But in it all, in all of those physical infirmities, he was the manifest copy of the Lord. The manifest copy of God. For 33 years, wherever he went, whatever he did, he manifested God. When he was with his disciples, he manifested God. When he was walking down the street, he manifested God. When he was amongst the enemies of God, he manifested God. Morning, noon, and night, he was the manifest copy of God. And again, to what degree that you and I walk even as he walked, we manifest Christ. And in manifesting Christ, we manifest God. And to what degree we walk even as he walked, we live the life of more than conquerors. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. There's no circumstance in life, there's no condition in life in which Jesus Christ is not our example, in which we are not to walk even as he walked. There's never an exception. We're always to walk. He's always the pattern. He's always what we're to strive after. His life is worthy of imitation. His life is the only one that is worthy of imitation. All other lives fall short. His life is worthy of imitation. In a world of sin, in a world of ungodliness, and in a world that found the ways of God to be unbearable and distasteful, again, he lived a holy life. He lived without sin. In a world that was opposed to holiness on every turn, and still is, he lived a holy life. In a world that seeks to obstruct, in a world that seeks to reverse, in a world that seeks to undo all righteousness and all holiness, he lived a holy life. In a world that is in departure from God, in a world of indifference, in a world of rejection, he manifested God. And he was pleasing. He was pleasing to God. After his baptism and at the transfiguration, a voice was heard from heaven, the voice of God the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I am entirely or thoroughly pleased. I'm telling you, his life is the only life worthy of imitation. God was completely satisfied with the life of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you and I could be saved. In a world of difficulty, in a world of resistance, in a world of hostility, in a world of criticism, in a world of obstruction, he was the servant. He was the perfect servant of God. His is the only life worthy of imitation. You try to imitate any other life, and you've set the standard, you've set the measure way too low. We are to strive to be like Jesus Christ. So in every aspect of our life, Jesus Christ has left us footsteps to follow. And we are to always look for his footsteps, and we find his footsteps in his word. Notice in the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 15. The night of the Passover, Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. But he says in verse 15, and this doesn't just apply to what he did that evening, it applies to everything. "For I have given you an example." That's always true. Whatever it is you're going through, Jesus Christ has given you an example. He is the example. "I have given you an example that you should," that's duty again, "that you should do as I have done." Now think about that. Jesus Christ is saying, "I am the example. Do as I have done." Not do as you think you should. Not do as you feel like doing. Not do as everyone else does. But you do as I have done. He's our pattern. He's our goal. Notice in Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 5. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another." And here's what we want to notice. "According to Christ Jesus." In accord with, in agreement with Christ Jesus. "I have given you an example. Do as I have done." According to Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 13. Colossians 3 verse 13. Just look at the latter part of the verse. "Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." So notice those two phrases. "Even as Christ, so also do ye." Even as Christ, so also do ye. He's our pattern. He's our standard. He's our measure. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Not only did he leave us an example on how to suffer wrongfully, as we see here in the context as you read on, he leaves us an example in all things. And the purpose of leaving us an example is that ye should follow. He didn't just leave us an example for you and I to observe. He didn't just leave us an example for you and I to discuss, to think about. He left us an example that ye should follow. And there again, we see that word should. That ye should follow his steps. Jesus Christ is our example. He is our pattern in everything. When you consider serving God, Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus Christ is our pattern. When you consider suffering wrongfully, Jesus Christ is our example. When you consider self-denial, Jesus Christ is our example. He's our pattern. When you consider surrender and self-sacrifice, Jesus Christ, again, is the pattern. So many times people pattern their lives after other children of God. That's not your pattern. Your pattern is Jesus Christ. And as we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we come way short. The advantage of that is that always gives us something to strive for. We never reach the mark in this life. We're always striving to be better, to be more like Jesus Christ. When it comes to just doing God's will, Jesus Christ, again, is our example. When it concerns compassion, Jesus Christ is our example. When it concerns you think about his oneness with the Father. He again is our example. You think about his dependence upon the Father. You think about him in prayer, and he's our example. You think about his love, he's our example. You think about how he used the scriptures. And again, he is our example. When you think about how he forgave, he again is our example. When you think of his humility, he again is our example. When you think of his meekness, again, he is our example in everything. In all our experiences, in all our circumstances, in all of our conditions, Jesus Christ has left us an example, a pattern. Not again for us to observe and to talk about, but to do even as he has done. To walk even as he. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And yet people do it all the time. There isn't anyone here that is a rule to themselves. Jesus Christ is our rule. Jesus Christ is our standard. There is no other individual upon earth that is our rule, that is our standard. Jesus Christ is our standard. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Then notice what it says. Unto the measure. A measure is a standard of gauging. A standard of gauging. What is our standard of gauging? What is our standard of gauging where we are right now? What is our standard for gauging where we want to be? Our standard for gauging is the stature. The stature of the fullness of Christ. Our measure of gauging where we are spiritually. You can compare yourself to every other member of Home Baptist Church. That can be your standard of gauging, and you'll never be what you ought to be. Jesus Christ is our standard of gauging. You can, and usually what people do when they compare themselves with others, they pick somebody out that they think that they're better than, that they've done more than, and then they feel pretty good about themselves. And so I don't know why the preacher is always preaching against sin. You've got the wrong standard. Our standard is Christ. He is our gauge. where we are spiritually, and you look at where we are right now, wherever that might be, in our spiritual condition, and you compare it to Christ, we have a long way to go. And that's always true. Even on our best days, even on the days when we're the closest to the Lord, we have a long way to go. We haven't even come close. So Jesus Christ is our model. You know, people say, well, that's a model Christian. There's no such thing. Jesus Christ is our model. There's a model church member. There's no such thing. Jesus Christ is our model. He's our example. He's our criteria. He's our standard. He's our benchmark, if you will. He's our reference point. So we're to measure ourselves by Christ. So let's briefly consider. Again, you could pick out any aspect of Christ's life, and he's the perfect example. And he's worthy of imitation. But just think about his service to the Lord. He was sent into the world with a specific work to do. He makes reference to this in John chapter 17. We too are sent into the world with a specific work, with a life to live. And there in John 17, when Jesus Christ is, in regards to the work that God gave him to do, he's praying. And he said there in John 17, verse 19, I sanctify myself. Again, he's speaking in regards to the work that God gave him to do. I sanctify myself. Now, sanctify has a twofold meaning. One, the primary meaning, and this is the meaning that Christ has in mind, is a setting apart for God's use. The other meaning is holiness. Of course, Christ didn't make himself holy. Christ was holy. But he said, I sanctify myself. That is, I set myself apart for God's use. And he's our model. He's our model to the degree that we are to set ourselves apart for the use and for the service of God. What he's talking about here is dedication. What he's talking about is consecration. And in order to get the full meaning of sanctify, you have to look at that word myself. I sanctify myself. That is everything that he is, myself. He says, I set apart everything that I am for God, for the work that God gave me to do. Myself. That's all of his powers, all of his knowledge, all of his perfection, everything. He says, I set myself apart. My total self. All that I am in and of myself, I have set apart for God. All of my relationships, all of my privileges, all of my possessions, everything set apart for God. Again, we sing the song, I Surrender All. We lie every single time we sing it. None of us surrender all. None of us. Some will say, well, we desire to. I would debate that. I would debate that there's an individual alive that desires to surrender everything. forgot. Jesus Christ is our example. You set anybody else in the place of Christ as an example, you have set the standard too low. This keeps us humble. As long as you can compare yourself to other individuals and find somebody that you feel that you are superior to, you can feel pretty good about yourself. But when you put yourself side by side with Jesus Christ, we can give up everything. We can give up everything and we still haven't come close to what Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Because he had more to give up than anybody. I sanctify myself. That is, I consecrate all my offices, prophet, priest, and king. I set them all apart. I entirely dedicate and consecrate my all to God. My very existence to God. I set it all apart for him. I lay it all down that I may be all and that I may do all and suffer all and merit all that my people need and that I may pay their sin debt. I sanctify myself. I lay it all aside for him. I ask you today, what did he hold back? What did Jesus Christ hold back? Nothing. Nothing. There is not an individual that has ever lived. There is no one living today that can honestly say, I have not held anything back from God. We hold back from God every day. We've been doing it all our lives, and we'll continue to do so the rest of our lives. But he is our example, and I sanctify myself. He was 100% dedicated to God. No one else can say that. No one here can say that they are 100% dedicated to the work of God. Only Christ. So he is our model. He is our standard. This is the stature that we are to seek to attain. This is our measure. Consider his dedication and put yourself side by side with Jesus Christ. But that gives, again, don't get depressed about it. Don't you see that gives you something to strive? That gives you something to strive after. That gives you something to live for. Consider his diligence. Consider his diligence in the work of God. Jesus said in Luke 2 and verse 49, I must be about my father's business. Mary and Joseph did not understand what Jesus Christ was talking about. But he said, I must. It consumes me. I must be about my father's business. He said in John 4 and verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. There was an urgency. He is our model. He is our model in diligence. His heart was so intently set upon God and his work that he never trifled away a moment. He never trifled away a single opportunity. Not one. Because he was so intent, his heart was so intently set upon the work. Again, our point is, he's our model. He's our pattern. He was earnest. He was persevering. No one persevered more than Jesus Christ. He was persistent. He was zealous in the work of God. And he did all of this in the midst of fierce opposition. No one has ever had more opposition than Jesus Christ. Yes, we do live in the last days. And yes, times are perilous. But no one has had more opposition than Jesus Christ. The devil has not worked against anyone as hard as he did Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ continued on. He is our example. He could not be deterred by anything. And let's be honest, it doesn't take much to deter us today. It doesn't take much to deter us from our focus. It doesn't take much. All it takes is for somebody to say something. And we're deterred for the rest of the week. That's all it takes. Or for somebody not to say something. Or for somebody to, we think they said something. It doesn't take much. Jesus Christ could not be deterred. When he was face to face with the obstacles and the fortifications of the devil, and the fortifications of the devil in all of his forces, he persisted in the work of God. We read in Luke 9, verse 51, and it came to pass when his time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. That is, he was determined to go to the cross. He was resolute, he was single-minded, he was unwavering in doing the work of the Lord. And yet, we waver, we delay, we hesitate so much when it comes to the work of God. Jesus Christ is our example. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking lightly of the shame. His mind was on the joy that was set before him. So he, not other servants of God, but he is our model. He is our standard. He is our prototype. He is what we are to strive after. You think about his desire in the work of God. His desire was simply to glorify the Father. Again, in John 17, he's about to go to the cross. He's praying. He says, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. That was his desire. To just glorify God. And he is our example. Again, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Walk even as he walked. And all through the Gospels, and all through our life, Jesus Christ calls us to imitate him. He said in Matthew 4, verse 19, follow me. He said it again in chapter 8, verse 22, again in chapter 9, and verse 9, and again in chapter 16, verse 24. Follow me. There's not a time that exempts us from those words. Follow me. There is no set of circumstances. There is no condition. There is no place. There is no realm. There is no aspect of your life that is exempt from those words, follow me. You may be happy, you may be sad. Jesus Christ is still the way, whether you're happy or sad. Jesus Christ is still the way. And Jesus Christ still says, whether you're happy or sad, whatever your condition is, follow me. That's always our responsibility, to simply follow Jesus Christ. Your cup may be running over, and your cup may be dry, but Jesus Christ is still the way, and Jesus Christ still says, follow me. You follow me. That's always the advice that Jesus Christ gives. Follow me. You can't give someone better advice than follow God. Do what Christ would do. Follow Him. You may be free from trial. You may be overwhelmed with trial. Either way, Jesus Christ is still the way. And Jesus Christ still says the same thing. Follow me. All may be well, so you think, or you may be struggling. But Jesus Christ is still the way, and Jesus Christ still says, Father, follow me. Everything may be calm, or you may be in the midst of a raging storm. Doesn't change who Jesus is. He's still the way, and He still says, follow me. You see, there's never an excuse. There's never a time that we are exempt. You may be on the mountaintop, you may be in the valley. But He's still the way, and He still says, follow me. You may be right with God, you may be backslidden from God. Either way, He says, follow me. If you're right with God, follow Him. That's the way to stay right. If you're backslidden, the way to get out of that situation is to follow Christ. He's our example in all things. You may be doing what's right, you may be doing what's wrong. But He's still the way. And He still says, follow me. And when Jesus says, follow me, that is a call to immediate service. He is saying, serve me. That is a call to separation. You have to leave where you are and follow Jesus Christ. You know why many never live the more than conquer life? There's a lot of reasons, but one reason is they're not willing to leave where they are. Even though they're miserable where they are, they're not willing to leave where they are. That's their comfort zone. For some people, misery is their comfort zone. They don't want to leave there. But to follow Christ, you have to leave where you are. It's a call to self-denial. You can't follow Christ without denying self. It is a call to imitate Him. It's a call to obedience, to do as He has done. It's a call to commitment. It's a call to focus upon Christ and simply to trust Him. Follow me. It's not for us to ask, where are you going? It's for us to follow Him. That's all we need to do, is follow Him. Well, what's going to come of it? That's not your business. Your business is to follow Christ. But you see, we get all snagged, we get hung up in, well, how's it going to work? I got to sit down. I got to figure this out. Jesus says, just follow me. It takes trust. It takes trust to follow someone. And you just keep following. And He may lead you through the darkest valley you've ever been in your life. And He says, just keep on following me. Just keep on following me. You cannot go wrong. So this life of more than conquerors is a life of Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is to be our aim. Christ-likeness is to be our goal. It is to be our aspiration. Again, read Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. Paul is striving after Jesus Christ. He's pushing through all things to get to Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness is what we're to pursue. Every day of our lives, we are to pursue to be more like Christ. Look for His footprints. They're there. You find them in His Word. You find the footprints of Christ all through His Word. And then you walk even as He walked. And to the degree that you can do that, that is the degree to which you will enjoy the life on this earth as more than conquerors. So the Christian life is a life based upon a pattern. The reason many do not live the life that they could is because they do not base their life upon a scriptural pattern. They base their life on the pattern that the world has set, or a pattern that they have invented in their own minds. But our pattern is Jesus Christ. It is a perfect pattern. There is no flaw in it. You say, "Oh, I wish I was like so and so." Their life is flawed. Their life comes short. Our goal is always to be Jesus Christ. And oh, that we would strive every day to be more like Christ. And as we put ourselves side by side with Christ, we see we've come far short. But again, don't get discouraged. But determine in your heart and mind, yes, I've come short, but I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep striving to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And you know what people will think? If you strive to be like Christ, they'll think you have lost your mind. Most of God's people will think that you have absolutely lost your mind. They will pull you to the side and give you advice, and perhaps you're going a little bit overboard. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing when it comes to serving the Lord? I don't think so. And even if there was, and there isn't, I don't know of anybody in danger of going too far in the service of the Lord. So God help us to be more like Christ. Brother Mark, if you'd come.